I call the March 15th, 2022 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Great, it's 7:06. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider is absent. Commissioner Spain?
Here.
President Brooks?
Here. Moving to consent agenda, items A through D are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items other than the change under adjournment of the February 15th, 2022 Finance Committee of the Whole minutes? Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented to include a change in the February 15th, 2022 Finance Committee of the Whole minutes on page 5 under adjournment eyes from Lutton, Onderdonk,
to Schneider,
Spain. Onderdonk to Schneider, got it, yes, Spain.
Cheers.
Can I get a second?
There we go. Oh my gosh. Kobe,
ooh,
second.
Oh, sweet. Yes.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Gubby?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yeah, that was a very nice issue.
President Brooks? Lisa?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, yes. Motion passes. And we will move on to matters from the public. It's our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. And I am going to say that there is no one for that. So we will move to the financial report. The district is in the first month of the fiscal year. John will provide a synopsis of the report.
Thank you, President Brooks. Good evening, everybody. So, obviously, the end of our fiscal year just passed. We're about 2/28 and 4/29 fiscal year end, depending on the year. So, we're busy within the admin office closing the books for the fiscal year. And so, the figures that we have in tonight's financial report. Those are still the cash basis balances. These are not yet the year-end closed amounts, which we'll do over the course of this month and in April. Have those balances ready for our annual audit, which is scheduled for April 19th. So just to run down some of the balances for cash basis balances as of the end of the fiscal year and compared to the prior month, we do see that the rec programs had about $160,000 in revenue. So again, a good chunk of this is revenue that is going to be ultimately deferred related to our fiscal 23 fiscal year end. So camp revenue and so on and so forth is a big chunk of that. Not a whole lot to speak to from the expense side of things. Children's Circle, you will see that about $227,000 increase in revenue from the prior month. About $64,000 of that represents the child care workforce bonus, which I'm happy to report was paid out to all full-time and part-time staff within the early child care department. So those payments were paid out, and a nice grant from the state for child care staff. Not a whole lot to speak to from an expense perspective. Fitness department, at the end of the fiscal year, again, on a cash basis, is showing an excess of revenue over expenditures of $744. So it is in the black, at this point at least. It, of course, is subject to any additional accruals that could still come in as we close our books for the on the accrual basis. Beach and boating wound up with an overall excess of revenue over expenditures of $180,000. This is compared to $270,000, $90,000 deficiency of revenue over expenditures, so about $270,000 better than the budget. So just a fantastic year at the beach, and pretty consistent with the projections that we had put together in December that we've lined up right around there. You'll also see that Watts is showing an excess of revenue over expenditures too, so a slight amount of $2,000, which is again subject to accrual that might come in March. So it's pretty likely that that number will be a deficiency once we book our year-end accruals, as we do have some payables out there. Not a lot to speak to on the G&A department, mainly again health insurance salaries for this month. Same for parks, their biggest expenditures were the G&A allocation. And then rec admin slash ticket department. Again, just pointing out the fact that there was no Fund 69 transfer this fiscal year. So if you look at those bottom numbers, the $750,000 efficiency over revenues compared to the 1.561, that's about 800, a little over 800,000 in the transfer last year was 850,000. So factoring out that transfer is pretty consistent with the prior year. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Hey, John, what's on the parks department? Why is there a 40% increase in expense there year over year?
So, the, the park water.
that's not 100,000.
No, that's
30,000, right?
Yeah, that's probably about 30 to 40,000. Might need to drill down into the numbers a bit to.
This would be, that'll be a year. I'm going to take a look at that and sure. That's the biggest outlier that's sort of unexplainable on here.
Yeah. And we can certainly drill down see what. Yeah, absolutely.
Kyle, you don't know the answer to that one?
Mm-hmm. But that's the
question. Kyle is asking this meeting.
One week old, right?
Any other questions?
Oh, yeah, I'm having trouble opening up the packet. That's okay. Okay, nothing else for John? Okay, then we will move on to the executive director report. Lisa Shepherd will review items in her report.
First of all, so nice to see you all in person. It's kind of exciting. I would like to introduce Kyle Kuz as our new director of Parks and Planning. Kyle, you want to give everybody a little of your background?
You're absolutely going to go to the podium.
That would be great. So we get it.
Oh.
I didn't make John. I hope we do that next time.
Hello, everybody. It's been a pleasure meeting a few of you. So a quick little rundown. I'm Kyle Kuz. Personal side of me is I'm from the area. Grew up in Buffalo Grove. Me, my wife, and my two sons, Henry and Archie, live in Mount Prospect currently. Professionally, most recently I was the operations supervisor for the trades department, building maintenance at the Arlington Heights Park District. Was in that role for 5 years. 5 years previous to that, I was the trade specialist for the pool maintenance. So pool mechanicals, plumbing, filtration systems, water treatment, things of that nature. Prior to that, I was in grounds labor. Started off doing trash removal, plantings, grass cutting, tree trimmings, worked my way up to more construction type items with building playgrounds, playground inspections, audits, those sorts of things. And pesticide applications, also all sorts of different kind of construction related things throughout the parks. So I was kind of working backwards in my career. So my most current role, again, was the operations supervisor. Saw the job posting for Glencoe Park District. Thought I'd really check a lot of the boxes for things I'd been doing and things I'm interested in growing in my career and my skill set. So I applied for it. I had the pleasure of meeting Lisa and the rest of the team, and it seemed like a great bunch. Really, if you guys have a great group of staff members here. So warm and welcoming, made me feel right at home, first stepping into the door yesterday, which obviously an overwhelming experience, but everyone's been great. And met President Brooks yesterday, and again, very wonderful introduction. And the community is a beautiful community. I'm really looking forward to getting to see every inch of the park systems and facilities and jumping right into the Pier project, the Watts project, lakefront down the line, and everything else that is coming up. And just kind of absorbing, getting involved, and hopefully over time can give my valuable input and recommendations, and obviously carry out whatever the board and the community wishes. So, any questions for me? I'm happy to answer anything personally, professionally. feel free.
No personal question. You pronounced your last name Kuz. Is that right?
Kuz.
I said it wrong.
Somebody I know, same name, Kuz, they say. Is it Kuz?
K-U-H-S, yeah.
Okay. K-U-H-S, Kuz, yeah.
And this is the general area?
Uh-huh.
What's the first name, if you don't mind?
Riley, probably. No, no, they're older. Mickey Coos, she's a big divorce attorney.
I don't know that.
Okay.
Coos, I've heard every version right, so I'm not offended if it's botched. I probably wouldn't bother.
Really great to have you here. Very excited.
Thank you.
I think you're going to have a good experience here at Glen Cove.
Looking forward to it. So.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Anything else?
No,
we don't have a pool, but we do have a beach. I don't think we have a filtration system for it, but it's exciting to get to use some of your previous skills.
I'm looking forward to it. One of the questions was, do you have any beach experience? And Arlington Heights has a beach, however, it's runoff, and we have to do everything we can to keep people out of the water,
as opposed to
a major draw. So it'll be interesting to see the other end of it where it's a major amenity, and I recognize that as one of the kind of three largest, most popular draws. So
yes.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a really good learning experience to kind of get that whole thing. Yeah.
Coming up quicker, so.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Cal brings us in a wide range of experiences, which we need as a department who had to juggle a lot of things, filter it down. So that was very exciting for us. He has a vast network. His family comes from Park and Rec. Wow. So he has a network of professionals that he could draw on for any experience he needs. In addition, Becky came on, 6 months now? And she developed the best onboarding program we've ever had. So
because it was an onboarding program,
but as opposed to, okay, what are we going to do on Monday when the new person starts? We also had Marty. Can you say his last name? Marty's last name?
Fiakowski.
Okay, he started the same day, and then last week we had Jose start last week.
Last week.
Yep. So we have quite a few new people that are taking advantage of the new onboarding, so we're very excited about that. And but he's also thrown in like both feet. It's like already jumping into the pair projects, which is starting to do the pair watts. We had a meeting today with the architect, so we'll keep him busy as he learns all the operations. So welcome to our team. We're excited to have you.
Awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So we had our lakefront playground and court meeting. I'll present back to that in another committee meeting later down. We did a survey to individuals. We're getting some information back on sound surveys. Other park districts have done with their pickleball courts, so I want to get that information so we can present that also. Maybe we won't have to do our own if we have two agencies right by us that did them. So we're in no hurry for this park, so we're going to take our time and we'll make sure we advertise any meetings that we have, but that'll be coming in the near future. Tonight we'll be approving the budget. Does anybody have any questions before we go into the approval that we can talk freely now? Or John, do you want to talk a little bit about anything with the budget?
Sure. So in the board packet tonight was just a memo kind of highlighting the changes from the first draft to the approval draft, which were pretty insignificant, which is why we just kind of went with the memo summarizing it. So mainly in Fund 65, there were some adjustments that we had to make to some of the projects that we had on the operator, one of them being the AV system for this room. We increased the scope there, obviously increased the expenditures there. The gym floor resurfacing came in a little higher than we were expecting. And the enhanced filtration for the AC condenser unit, we accounted for that. To account for all that, we cut that R22 bulk purchase. We were pretty successful with lots this year in terms of not having to really draw on our surplus for that refrigerant. So we felt comfortable eliminating that purchase to help account for the increases in those other line items. Rec Fund, we increased the credit card processing fees by about $15,000 to account for potentially looking at a new vendor and getting into processing some of the payments via ACH. So we just built in some room for that. And then beyond that, we just tried to sharpen our projections as best we can at this point. Those are obviously ever evolving. And once we get to the book our approvals and everything, that's when we'll know exactly where we stand. But we think we have a pretty good idea of where we're at now as we go into the rest of the vehicle system.
Cool. Any questions on that real quick? All right, I'm going to move to Bobby and Watts. We just finished up a very successful season. Do you want to update the board on?
Yeah, we had a great season. We got to extend an extra 6 days. We closed on the Saturday when the weather got a little too warm. We were able to get all of our classes made up for the skating lessons. That was an extremely successful program, both skating and hockey. Yeah, skating, probably 90% of all of the program we had there. We also had 12 really successful family skates on the Friday nights, some more than others. Were more successful and well attended based on the weather. So the weather was nice, people came out, and when it was cold, people tended to stay away. So we learned some really great things with Nate, where to focus our energies next year. We've also sent out the survey to pass holders. Lots and lots of positive feedback on a great season. And financially, I think it was probably the best season Watts has ever had, but a lot of positive momentum. It was great back getting back into the facility. February was the numbers of COVID died down. We're looking to present the Watts report here in February with all the feedback from staff and the community.
Excellent. Children's Circle, we keep on experiencing child care teacher shortages. We're continuing to advertise in all different means, continue to have no one apply. So we are doing our best to keep our doors open as much as possible. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, we are seeing a lot of colds, a lot of illnesses not COVID related right now in the last 2 weeks, so we have quite a few staff out with illnesses and children too. We've had two or three applicants for jobs. Unfortunately, none of them have actually turned up for the interviews, so we really are struggling on the candidate pool. So we've shared it with our staff again. The whole district-wide, and we keep promoting it, but we are just really struggling with an industry-wide issue. We've been kind of lucky up until now. A lot of other districts and a lot of other child care centers and preschools have struggled for the last 12 months, but we're really in the midst of a severe staff shortage right now. So as of right now, we're going alphabetically through the list, and when we have call-outs, we had 8 call-outs on Monday. We had to close the jellyfish room. We had to close two. We had to send 2 individuals home. So we're going through those lists on a daily basis. We also have one of our rooms closed right now because we're waiting a pending COVID result. But even with that, we have staff out. But even if it was negative, we wouldn't be able to open because there's such a staff shortage in those rooms. So we should get better news on that. We're doing everything we can. We're filling in with rec managers, with our full-time staff. It's all hands on deck right now.
Yeah, it really is. It seems to take the mask away and then they get other illnesses they haven't been getting all year.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of the self care too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tumacol.
Yeah, just going around.
Right.
So
right. Yep.
We're not the only ones.
I did a lot of research on the spring break issue. I only got one test. I was kind of shocked.
We got two.
We got two. Everyone understands. We really feel for the parents. They have done as much as our teachers. They're really pushing and putting up with a lot. It's really hard on the whole community.
Yeah.
We feel so. We had a couple of emails that your heart wrenched for yesterday. The parents trying to figure out child care. You know, we're just in a tricky spot because we still have to quarantine and still have to, the kids that are under, that can't be vaccinated, still have to quarantine. If they're not able to wear masks, they're right for 10 days. So we're getting some pushback, but a lot of people understanding it. People are just trying to do the best they can, rely on family networks and resources and grandparents.
He was referring to, we got a couple of emails when we closed one of the rooms for a COVID case. They said, can't you just ignore it? I mean, but you they can still go back to school. We can't. We have to follow the CDC guidelines.
Yeah.
We're checking back with DCFS to see if anything has changed in that regard as far as quarantine and stuff like that. We have not heard of any change yet. So, but we have a call into our representative. So,
and Max, are we putting any pressure? Well, if we want to, and I guess it's a question of, we have to follow CDC guidelines. But is there any desire to push Illinois on
whether or not it's the right thing to do anymore.
Well, we were down, Bobby and I were down in Springfield. We talked a lot about the issues that were happening in childcare, our shortages, the quarantine. So they're aware of the plight we're in, and they're very sympathetic. I don't see any change happening.
Okay. I'm just going to make a couple comments. One is I got feedback from parents who don't live in Glenfoe, who have older siblings who are in school districts that are on different spring breaks. So they're, but I guess they understood enough to not call.
Yeah, they didn't call us. So.
Yeah, so I think there's a level of understanding, even though there's frustration. I guess this is rhetorical, but like, what is it going to take to get better? Like, I just don't see the situation improving.
Yeah,
we
have that debate every single day.
Yeah. We do.
Everybody does.
We do. What is it going to take to get better?
Time. I think time.
People feeling safe to go back to work.
Time. Getting used to the new.
I'll tell you, the people are going back to work. Tuesdays and Thursdays, the trains are crowded. Mondays and Fridays, people are going back to work. I think this school year is going to be almost, you know, if something does change in the direction of spring break, it's not going to be until next year. But I don't, my personal opinion is I think in September it's going to end. If things stay the way they are, September will probably be closer to normal with quarantine.
But do you think it's like it's just a shift from away from people wanting to work in childcare? And I guess I don't see help coming from the government.
Right.
So, like, I just don't see any structural change
right.
to support the industry.
Right.
So,
yes. I mean,
you're
spot
exactly
on.
The
like,
problem.
People, it seems like during the pandemic, people left the field because they didn't feel comfortable being exposed. And we have no new ones coming in to fill those places. And we used to have, there's always a pipeline of people to come in.
So we've asked people who turn us down for positions or don't turn up. One, for example, bartending, let's do bartending instead because you're making $25 to $30 an hour and you're getting all these benefits. And it's just there's people not getting into it.
So you know my sister works for the JCC, so they have the same issue. So the daycare there now is only open 10 to 3 because they can't staff it in the morning. They can't offer after camp care because they can't staff it. And they're using, and I know you guys are doing obviously, but I'm bringing it up because she is just so desperate. So she's calling like moms in the community who she knows would go for free camp. And I know that our employees already get a 50% off, but she did just get an employee to teach an art class who has 3 kids who now are going to camp for free.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, I know we're desperate. And if there are moms in the community, if we can offer them something that doesn't cost us outright.
Although if you need daycare, you're probably employed.
Right. But if you program,
it's a little bit different,
or,
yeah.
You know, just, I don't know, just throwing it out there just because.
It's so hard. There are, I think it's New Mexico called in the National Guard to act as substitute teachers.
Oh, I read about that.
Because the demand is so insane. So
yeah.
City of Chicago has now also made it more lenient to let people with just associate degrees after a one-day training course act. I think it was NPR. And this is desperation out there. And I think there is probably a chasm between some of the parents in Glenfoe and some of the realities of how hard it is to work on a salary of a daycare employees and how hard it is to find them. I don't think there's that understanding out there. So it's a tough bridge to gap, But I do think that the things that we are doing now, giving that week of spring break, and you know, the tables have turned, right? We're at 2% unemployment, probably less than 2% unemployment in childcare. We have to do what we have to do to keep the happy. I mean, I didn't realize that daycare was closed for so many hours. So I think maybe these are the things that Bobby, we make our the parents understand that we have done A, B, and C through the pandemic while our neighbors have closed hours. stopped offering care, you know, said no to new kids and things like that, and you know, understand the reality of it. It's a reality in itself.
It's both understanding the reality, and you're certainly right, Michael, but it's yeah, that's all good, but I need child care.
Yeah.
I need child care.
Right.
I need reliable child care, and it's appalling that it comes down to us to figure this out, when in fact, it's a national problem.
It is.
Well,
and requires a national support.
It is a national problem.
It is.
Yeah.
And
now
it was...
COVID is almost gone. It's like the sympathy is gone. This work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the employers aren't as sympathetic. Well, you should have child care because...
Yeah, right.
Well, I will say, I don't necessarily see the sympathy gone. And I also see that this world has changed as well for America. Working from home now is, I'm not saying working from home and having kids around is easy.
It's awful.
It's impossible.
Not.
I've done it.
Trust me.
It's impossible.
You know, three of us that have young kids here, that could do it.
Well, those of us that have young kids and had to do it sometimes,
do it too.
It's impossible.
I've got to do it for months at a time.
Well, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
It is.
But
if you have a job that has requirements of you, it is impossible to simultaneously take care of your children.
Especially if you are doctor, restaurant owner, you know, nurse. Teach it yourself, it's tough. So, but I wonder if there's no easy answer, but I do think having a fact sheet about us could probably help you out. Having like quick what we have done and where we are versus the rest of the world, it wouldn't hurt to have something like that.
I also think what we need is the energy and time that we don't have to like come up with a sort of grassroots movement to make changes, but everyone's just too
busy to even do it. I know. I can't believe you're doing it, to be honest.
I mean, that's what Jessica Stockwell would say. It has to be a whole movement of paying for education for early childhood, you know, or increasing wages to make it more of attractive to go into.
Well, and have it subsidized because it's then you're going to have the cost too high for people are going to drop out of the workforce.
Right, which already.
But you can do something creative, right? So if this really is an issue, which it is, you know, my mind would be to lobby Springfield and say, can we get a little bit of relief on the requirements for people in our classrooms temporarily? Can we go lenient on the DCFS? If the city of Chicago is going lenient with their substitute teachers and New Mexico is going with National Guard, are there opportunities for us to do things like be a little bit lenient? Can we? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I tell you, I'd rather take one day off and go into the classroom and help 30 kids out, 12, 15 kids out, and take 5 days off and do it myself. But can we have parents come and help out if we need to? That's the grassroots effort.
Well, we can, I guess, but I mean, like, do we start? I don't know. Now I'm starting to make a start some sort of political career, lobbying the whole state of
Illinois. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, you were successful with some of the, you know, when they said you can't participate in sports unless you're vaccinated, right?
Right.
The districts, they get together and. We don't have to go all night.
But we also have to think about the other side of it, the liability side, is if you bring parents into classrooms with no early childhood training, you know, what are the ramifications of that? Just because you're a parent doesn't mean you have
you're a child care worker.
A child care worker, which is
My point wasn't just parents. My point is, you know, getting DCFS certified people is an onerous step. Are there ways around that? Just like the city of Chicago is doing, just like New Mexico is doing, just like other states are doing. That I'll leave it at that. But
and I assume we have the same issue. Like I come on the weekends and work out here, and I know we close at 2. And that Sunday I was here, and we were like 11 people there. And I felt so bad for the nice man who works there.
Oh, good.
And he came and talked to me and. He had to go in there and tell people we're closing. And like he said, there used to be someone who came at 6:30 to 12, and then the guy had someone 12 to 5. And I realize we don't have a staff. I don't know if people are complaining about that, but I feel like they probably will start to. Because they were just getting going in their work at it.
Oh,
and he said, you know what, we're
we're closing them.
And it's 2 o'clock.
We have openings in custodial positions, front desk positions. I know how Marcos talked to them. They have 70 open positions right now.
Oh, my goodness.
So, honestly, we haven't spent the hours because we know we wouldn't be able to fill them. But, yeah, we're really struggling party-wise. We're really pulling in a lot of full-time staff to do double duty.
Yeah, he's
in
his
wife
works at Lux, and they are constantly saying to her, can you take more hours? Can you do this?
Yeah.
Everyone's in the same boat, and they'll give you anything.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want?
Yes, exactly.
It's an employer's employees market right now.
Mm-hmm. Ask for what you want.
But I would love to.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's about it. That's all I had.
We accomplished nothing
except we got it off our chest.
Okay.
And
okay.
We'll just keep on, you know, Jessica's a big advocate throughout the state on our behalf, and as are Bobby and I when we're down in Springfield, and we'll keep on pushing and try to find ways. I know I'm on the IPRA board. We just are doing free job boards for all the Park District as employer benefit to help Park District get the word out, you know, throughout the state. It's just really hard. All right, that's all I have in my report.
That's it. Okay. We will move to action items. I entertain a motion to approve the fiscal year 2022-23 budget approval draft as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Mr. Covey?
Yes.
Mr. Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the lowest responsible bidder, Floors Incorporated of Woodstock, Illinois, for a total base bid of $37,100 as presented.
So moved. Second.
Discussion?
I just forgot, is this the gym floor or the middle gym?
The gym floor, the big gym floor, yeah. And we'll put new pickleball lines on and, you know, it's really important.
Is it a bit of labor?
Yes.
Or what, like the 50% increase?
Yep, labor.
Labor?
Yep.
And we only had one bid, correct?
We only had one bid?
Yeah.
And yes.
I think we got a bid.
We do have to do it.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of complaints from the pickleball people because the lines aren't perfect and they can't see them.
Okay.
That's a good question.
We understand.
Doesn't make me happy either.
Any other discussion on the gym floor? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Sorry, one more question. Is it going to be done during the 2 weeks?
It's going to be the August time frame. Yep. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the executive director agreement for March 15th, 2022 to March 14th, 2025 as presented.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion?
Thanks, Carol.
I did. I will say that Bart is not here, and he was kind of integral in that thing. But we discussed today to make sure that the contract was as it should be, and we both signed off on it. So I think we're good. Any other discussion? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne.
Yes.
Commissioner Covey.
Yes.
Mr. Spain.
Yeah.
President Brooks.
Yes. Motion passes. Would any commissioner like to discuss these executive session minutes in closed session?
No.
No? Okay. I entertain a motion to approve and keep confidential executive session minutes from December 7th, 2021, January 18th, 2022, and February 1st, 2022, and approve for destruction recordings from July 9th, 2019, October 15th, 2019, November 19th, 2019, December 3rd, 2019, January 7th, 2020, February 4th, 2020, February 18th, 2020, and May 19th, 2020, as mandated by 5 ILCS 120/2 C21 as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Mr. Spain?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. On to other business. Lisa Shepherd, do you have other business?
I do not.
Okay.
No need to go into executive session.
And we will not go into closed session to discuss either of those issues that we have on here. Okay. So that means we are moving to...
adjourned.
Oh, yeah, I entertain a motion to adjourn at 7:42 p.m.
So moved. Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Yes.
Boom.